is there a better sound in the world than that? I really do wish that sound was not me popping a hard seltzer, though. Welcome to the Boozy Bracketology Podcast. We are back with the last half of the round of 32, and we are going to go ahead and meet our panelists, starting off with one of the hosts of the Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast, my friend Scott. How you doing? What you drinking?
I'm doing well, Chris. Happy to be back for another episode. Glad that I'm still allowed back after some of the choices that I made.
Yes.
But we all make bad choices in life, and then we still get to go on and be, I don't know, baseball players that make it to the round of 16 in a tournament. So I'm excited. Yeah, you mentioned Benchwarmers Trivia Podcast. It's a podcast that myself and Eric, who's also on this episode, do. And, you know, just like I learned from being on this show with you gentlemen, is that you guys – sort of, you know, all get along with each other. And sometimes it's very rare, but sometimes you even have nice things to say about each other. So we have that too over at the Benchwarmers. And in honor of Eric, you know, because we support each other in their other endeavors, in honor of Eric's other side project podcast, The Priority List, I wanted to just let him know and everyone else that's listening that I'm not drinking much, but I'm eating his 10th favorite candy bar, a Three Musketeers bar.
Ooh.
So shout out to Eric Eden and the Priority List Podcast and their most recent episode.
That sounds delicious, and I smell another bracket coming up. Best candy bar.
We've talked about that one for a while, actually.
I actually got into an internet argument about Snickers a couple of weeks ago with some of my Courage fan friends.
Did it make you laugh? Did you snicker? I'm done. We're moving on.
Hey-o.
Next up, Mr. Gore, how you doing? What you drinking?
Well, I'm tired now, and I'm glad to be here. I am actually drinking this glass of bourbon that I'll figure out what the title of it is in a bit.
That looked empty, Jeff. What's going on? Or fake Tim, I should say.
Yeah, well, so I'm fake Tim. Welcome to the show. We're all great here. I haven't filled it up yet, so I think it's coming shortly. Have a delivery service. It's fine. But yeah, glad to be here and glad to be drinking and making some picks.
Well, we are going to be drinking. We're going to be making some picks, but we're going to go over and pick the brain of Mr. Jeff Woodhead. How you doing, sir? What you drinking?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to this basketball region, which promises to be quite intense. And got some Michter's US 1 bourbon here to help me along with it.
Well, Michter's 110 is the second best Michter's they make. The sour mash barrel proof is barrel proof. The sour mash toasted barrel is phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah,
we are going to move on. You heard him earlier. We're going to hear from him again. Eric, my friend, how you doing? What you drinking?
I'm doing good. I'm fully recovered from my spider bite. No more antibiotics for me, so I get to actually drink this time.
All right.
And I'm drinking something from, it's local to here in Buffalo, which people just found out I'm from, and I apologize. But it's from Southern Tier Brewing Company, and it's a cider. I enjoy my ciders, and this is the first time I'm having this one. It's rose hibiscus, so it's probably not going to be good if there's flowers in it. but I'll let you know, and it's probably not going to seriously not be good. Oh, no, that's not bad. I'm okay with this.
He'll allow it. Last but not least, the pride of Huntsville, Alabama. Mike, how you doing? What you drinking?
I'm doing good. No, Southern Tier, great brewing company. And speaking of great brewing companies, I have another selection from the Trim Tab Brewing Company down in Birmingham, Alabama. They are pretty much my signature beer on here, I think, especially their Light Visions collection. Of which this is a member. This is their Echo in the Abyss double IPA with Kohatu and Strata hops. So let's pop this puppy open here. Ooh, that one sounded good. I love their Light Visions collection. It's basically they do a different IPA every month. It's usually a double IPA. Sometimes they even go into the elusive triple IPA, but some of these beers have been superlative, and even the worst ones are just very good. And this one is right in between. This is a very good double IPA.
That sounds delicious. Well, I have a feeling we're not going to piss anybody off tonight, guys, because we're only moving into the NBA. Nope, scratch that. The basketball portion of the bracket and then the football portion of the bracket. And we're going to piss off most of the world right now, because when I say football, I don't mean what Jeff Woodhead watches on a regular basis. I mean the NFL.
You mean hand egg.
Hand egg.
Where's that dadgum mute button? We're going to start in the basketball portion of the bracket with a contentious pick, which could be a contentious pick. We've got the one seed, Michael Air Jordan, taking on the eight seed, Diana Taurasi, and we are starting with Scott.
I worry that this is a matchup where people are going to get cute. For the sake of Tim, I hope you listen to this. For the sake of you taking a drink, I want to mention Moneyball, but I don't. I'm trying to make sure that people, that if people get cute, MJ still lives on. So my vote's for Michael Jordan.
Jordan picks up his first vote. The next pick is going to Jeff Gore.
Diana Taurasi is great, but the world doesn't spend all day wondering if there is a new Taurasi. Mike gets this one. Is what I was given as copy here. I think what we're trying to say is, look, Diana's great. She was fantastic at what she did. But this is all about the shoes. I don't think Tim cares anything about anything else other than shoes. So if we're talking about shoes, Michael Jordan wins, period.
Air Jordan picks up his second vote. Let's see how far he can go. We're going to Mr. Woodhead.
Yeah, I think this ended up being a little bit closer than I initially thought it was going to be for me. Taurasi is maybe a slightly better career shooter than Jordan was, but honestly, probably a little bit more versatile in the sense that Jordan may not have been the passer that Taurasi is. But dude led the league in points for 10 years out of 11 that he was in the league. In the 11th, he only played 17 games. He led the league in steals per game three of those years, too. You think of Jordan as the offensive dynamo. Dude could play defense, too. There's a reason why everyone thinks about, oh, the next Jordan. Is LeBron the next Jordan? Some 5-year-old currently bouncing a basketball in Harlem the next Jordan? Because Jordan was Jordan, and Jordan moves on.
And with that, Michael Jordan picks up his third vote. He is moving on, but let's hear from Eric.
It's about the shoes, right? No one's going to the store to buy the Diana Taurasis. I mean, I might if they look nice, but I think that's neither here nor there. Everybody wanted to be Michael Jordan. He is basketball. He will always be basketball. LeBron can't even touch him in my eyes. So, Jordan.
Michael Jordan has four votes. Let's see if we have a sweep. Mike, you're up.
It's funny that everybody brought up the shoes, because I was actually going to bring up the shoes too. I was going to tell the story about when, as a lad of, 11, probably 10 or 11, when the very first Air Jordans came out. And I told my mom, I really want a pair of those shoes. And my mom says, there is no way in holy hell that I'm spending that much money on a pair of shoes. And she was absolutely right. And to this day, even factoring in inflation and everything else, I've still never spent that much money on a pair of shoes. No cuteness here. Diana Taurasi is great. One of the best, if not the best, WNBA players of all time. But it's hard to match Jordan for sheer dominance with what he did in the early and late 90s. This is Jordan all the way. Give it the sweep.
Jordan gets the sweep, and we are moving on to the 5-4 matchup. The 5-seed Magic Johnson, the 4-seed Shaquille O'Neal. We're starting this one off with Mr. Gore.
Yeah, there's no upset here. This one, Tim was nice enough to really give me jack all on this one. Pretty much nothing. I almost literally said nothing. And so I'm just going to go ahead and give his vote, which, in a surprising turn of events, as Tim would probably guess, would have actually been my vote as well. So good for him. He made the right choice, and I get to say the right thing for once. Oof. But I'm going to go with Shaq. I gotta give it to Shaq in this one.
Shaquille O'Neal picks up his first vote. Next pick is going to Mr. Woodhead.
Yeah, I think Shaq was an amazing player. Both of these guys changed the game of basketball. Let's come off the block and say that. Both of these guys changed how you think about, how you look at, and how you you approach the game of basketball. Only one of these guys could be stopped pretty effectively by constantly fouling him. I just cannot get past the fact that Shaq couldn't make free throws. And that made him... Yeah, that he played as well as he did despite that fact is impressive. But I just cannot get past that fact. I'm sorry, Shaq. I got to pick Magic here.
We've got a 1-1 ball game. We're bringing the next pick over to Eric.
Shaq ripped my heart out as a young 13, 14-year-old kid. But I have buried that hatchet, and I now realize his dominance and what it was, even though I was hate watching a lot of it after he left Orlando. Magic is fine, but Shaquille O'Neal was just, he was a big man, and there was nobody else that could touch him. I mean, it has to be Shaq. He was just unstoppable. So my vote's for Shaq.
Shaq's got a second vote. Mike, your turn.
I'll be honest, this one was, I think, in this particular episode between basketball and football, this was actually probably the toughest matchup for me. It's fitting given that it's a 4-5, so they're very closely evenly seated. I didn't even completely know 100% how I was going to vote, although I was certainly leaning one way, and I think I'm going to continue leaning that way, but... And the fact that I am ultimately going to have to vote the way that I'm going to vote, when I very first started watching basketball, I had two players that I absolutely loved to watch. This is going to date myself a little bit because some of y'all were probably too young. But the two players that I loved to watch were, of course, Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson. And you want to talk about getting your heart ripped out. It was about a year after that fact that, unfortunately, he revealed his HIV positive diagnosis and had to step away from the game. God, I love to watch him play for that year. And obviously going back and watching some of his old highlights and stuff like that. I loved Magic. But in terms of sheer dominance, I do have to go with Shaq here. Shaq, yeah, he had that one vulnerability. But I feel like he was more of a dominant presence overall on the court. And I got to give him my vote.
Shaq picks up his third vote. That'll move in into the Sweet 16. But let's hear from Scott.
Well, I first want to thank Mike for not putting this one on me because I was really dreading that. Because, yeah, like Mike mentioned, this one is really, really tough here. A couple of Lakers. You know, Magic Johnson, I mentioned it the last basketball episode. You know, what he did for revitalizing the guard position, even though he played all of them, and what he did with the Showtime Lakers, and the passing was just incredible. But also with that, sometimes I wonder if Michael Jordan, he credits his father's death for his decision to play baseball. But sometimes I wonder if he saw Shaq and was like, you know what? I need to take a couple years off. And I know the league is in good hands because Shaq really kind of took that torch and became the face of the NBA there for a while. Similar to what Ken Griffey Jr. was doing in baseball at the time. I mean, I just remember those guys everywhere. And there's something to be said about that. The vote here is for Shaq. So I'm happy he's moving on.
And Shaq is moving on, and so are we. The next portion of the basketball bracket is going to see the 11th seed of Sue Bird against the 3 seed of Kobe Bryant. And this particular portion, we're starting with Mr. Woodhead.
Yeah, this is the one I hate you for making me first on, because I had a really hard time with this one. I constantly went back and forth because they're both great in their own ways, right? That, you know, Kobe Bryant's honestly an incredible shooter and amazing scorer, someone who could take over a game completely all by himself when he wanted to. Bird is an incredible facilitator, someone who could help someone else take over the game whenever they wanted to. So I really went back and forth. Which skill do you value more? Which is better to have on your team? Do you want Kobe Bryant? Or do you want Sue Bird? You kind of want them both. And then I started looking at their stats, and I found something interesting that, you know, we think of Kobe Bryant obviously as an amazing shooter, and he was an incredible shooter. His effective field goal percentage was 482, which is amazing. Sue Bird's effective field goal percentage, 515. She's slightly better shooter than Kobe Bryant, of course taking a lot less shots per game, but that's kind of wild to me. And I know it's probably going to be 4-1 here, but I'll throw my vote to Sue Bird just because she was a lot better shooter than I thought she was.
The UConn graduate has a 1-0 lead. The next pick goes to Eric.
This has to be Kobe Bryant, right? I'm not crazy for thinking this. Sue Bird's great, but Kobe Bryant is another level in my eyes. Just 18-time All-Star, 5-time NBA champion. Just MVP, it's 2-time final MVP, and it's just a different level in my eyes to Sue Bird. It has nothing to do with one being the NBA, one being the WNBA. It's just Kobe is Kobe. And that, I mean, it sounds like nothing, but in the same time, that's everything. So it's got to be Kobe Bryant.
Tie it up at 1. Mike, break that tie.
Yeah, we've spoken a little bit about dominance sometimes extending when we talk about these things beyond the court of play. Not that the court of play is the significant factor, but I don't know that Sue Bird is a household name in the same way that Kobe Bryant is a household name. And that might be a little unfair because the NBA and WNBA, they get different press coverage. But regardless, I just think that when you look at their respective career accomplishments, you got to give it to Kobe here. He was basketball in the 2000s. He just was. I mean, he scored over 60 points in a game, I think like 5 or 6 times. He's second in terms of scoring 60 points in a game, only to Wilt Chamberlain, who once did 100, but Wilt Chamberlain was playing much weaker competition. I mean, let's be honest. I think you really have to give it to Kobe here. And it's nothing against Sue Bird, who is an amazing basketball player and has been a tremendous force for the WNBA. But you still got to give it to Kobe here in terms of sheer dominance.
Kobe's got a 2-1 lead. The next pick is going to Scott.
LeBron, Shaq, Serena, Tiger, Ronaldo, Messi. Just people who, athletes that are just known by one name. They don't need to have anything else, and you know exactly who you're talking about. You turn on the TV, hey, what did Kobe do in this game? No one ever asked, hey, what did Sue do last night? Because you don't know who you're talking about. You could be talking about your neighbor with painting lawn gnomes. Like, it's Kobe for that fact. I mean, he's just synonymous with the NBA post-Jordan, and it's not just because everyone was starving for the next Jordan. It's because he actually had the numbers and the talent and the success to back it up. So to me, this is definitely Kobe Bryant.
Well, we are in danger of Mr. Woodhead being a soothsayer. We're going to go over and see what Mr. Gore has to say.
Well, the White Mamba got eliminated earlier, and if she didn't make it through, the Black Mamba must go through. There has never been quite a player as clutch as Kobe. And Kobe's moving on.
And Kobe is moving on. A 4-1 victory in the Sweet 16. And we are moving on to the last pick in the basketball portion of the bracket. We have the 10 seed of Steph Curry taking on the number 2 seed of LeBron James. And this one is starting with Eric.
So this is extremely difficult. I want to leave bias out of it because I'm not a LeBron James fan. But I do appreciate what he's done. He's been to what, almost every NBA final since whatever, I don't even know what year that was. He won a championship for Cleveland. Somebody won a championship for Cleveland. Baker Mayfield's not going to do it. He did it. It's Steph Curry is amazing. No one shoots like him. No one's ever going to shoot like him again. So what takes precedent? The fact that LeBron's probably one of the best of all time all around, or Steph, who's probably the greatest shooter. You can't ignore the fact that LeBron's just, he goes to the finals when he wants to, and I feel like he takes a season off if he wants to, and that's when he doesn't go. So it's got to be LeBron, as much as it hurts.
LeBron picks up his first vote. The next pick is going over to Mike.
You know, since we're not going to get Magic versus Bird, either Sue or Larry, So this is probably as close to what you would call a rivalry matchup as we're going to get in this bracket. I mean, Steph Curry versus LeBron, they faced each other in the finals, what, 4 straight years? I mean, after LeBron went back to the Cavs, and it was interesting because I looked at that specifically when trying to make this decision, because I really did want to think about it. And because the Warriors obviously won 3 of 4 of those. I'm kind of glad Tim's not here for me to make that point. So that he doesn't have to relive that. But when you look at those games, LeBron had more points, he had more boards, and he had more assists on average in all of those games. You know, there is, I actually saw recently, there's a documentary about Steph Curry that they're working on that's called Underrated. And I actually think there's a lot of truth to that. I think that maybe Steph Curry might be a little underrated, but I still think LeBron wins it here. He won the NBA championship with 3 different teams. He's done it every way you can imagine. So I'm giving him my vote.
LeBron picks up his second vote. The next pick is going to Scott.
Mike mentioned a lot of stats there, like in the finals, and one of the reasons for that is because LeBron can bring a ragtag group of individuals to success. Obviously not Miami. That we know that there was a big 3 team up there, but the fact that, like Eric mentioned, that he got Cleveland a championship with, I'm sorry, Kyrie Irving's an overrated player. That roster was that they never should have beat that Warriors team. And then the fact that he got the Cavs previous to that to a finals with literally no one, like guys that he found off the street, is impressive. I mean, people want to play with LeBron. That, you know, he gets accused of teaming up with stars. Now he's got Anthony Davis. They go to him. It's not the other way around. It's not Kevin Durant where he's leaving. People want to play with LeBron. And to me, that shows a dominance of the sport, because you have all of the other players just circling the calendar when free agency starts and they have an opportunity to go play with him. I love Steph Curry, and I'm sad to see him go. I'm glad that he made it this far, but this is LeBron.
LeBron picks up his third vote. He is moving on to the Sweet 16, but let's go ahead and hear from Jeff Gore.
Yeah, let's hear from Jeff Gore. Let's hear his thoughts on all this. this is definitely what he has to say. You should definitely direct all direct messages and all hate towards him. He has anything to say about this whatsoever. Let's be honest here. We've got LeBron James versus Steph Curry yet again. And how has that gone so far? Well, I think we all know. While Curry is clearly, without a doubt, the best shooter probably, maybe, of all time, what he's not is the most dominant player of all time. No one's talking about Curry. When they're talking about the most dominant player of all time, they're not talking about Curry versus Jordan. They're not talking about Curry versus Kobe. Curry's great, and Curry has had his time to shine against LeBron. But his name will not carry on the legacy that LeBron's will. So without a doubt, LeBron gets my vote.
LeBron's got a 4-0 lead. Mr. Woodhead, do we have a sweep?
I don't know. Can I give it a sweep? It feels like too close of a matchup to be able to give this a sweep, but I think if you just look at the stats, you would see that, you know, obviously Curry is a much better shooter. isn't necessarily that far behind in assists or rebounds, especially playing a backcourt position. You know, LeBron is probably one of the best passing forwards that we've seen in a while. But LeBron, like Scott said, is just capable of dragging a team of nobodies to the finals. I don't know that Curry can do it himself without Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and some of those other solid Warriors players. So, yeah, as uncomfortable as it makes me, let's give LeBron the sweep.
LeBron gets the sweep. He's moving on to the Sweet 16, and we are moving on to a topic that literally nobody here cares about, so I don't even know why we're going to discuss it. We're here to talk about the NFL, and we're starting with Mike. Mike, you get to choose between the number one overall seed in the NFL bracket, Tom Brady, or the number eight seed, the defensive lineman, Bruce Smith. The choice is yours.
Look, we clearly established Bruce Smith's bona fides as a defensive lineman. He's the all-time sack leader. He's a terrifying dude when he's coming at you. Has anybody ever picked apart a defense quite like Brady? I don't know. He's the all-time leader in passing yards, passing completions, touchdowns. Okay, yes, he's been playing for a long time, but still, you know who else played for a long time? Vinny Testaverde. And he's actually surprisingly far up there in those stats, but he ain't all-time. He's not anywhere close. Tom Brady has won more rings than anyone, and he did it. Someone mentioned last time that if he hadn't done what he did with the Bucks this past year, this might be a different conversation. But he didn't win all those rings just within a system. He did it because he's just that good. This is Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's got his first vote. Scott, you're up, sir.
I'm going to let someone else have the remainder of my time. This is Tom Brady. Moving on.
Tom Brady up 2-0. We're moving on to Mr. Gore.
Well, I don't know how much more time I'm going to have left, so I'm going to steal a little bit of your time here. I am not, let me rephrase that, I was not a Tom Brady fan. I was one of those many that were out here hating on the man for winning for so many years. But much like some very few particular characters from the Yankees of all those dominant years, there's something in a sports fan that elicits respect regardless of what they do, because of the results that they get. And Tom Brady, regardless of how much you may have hated him for all those years, has just proven every motherfucker wrong by coming down to a town that has been awful for a long time and just whipping everyone's ass into shape. You can say it was the front office. You can say it was the coaching staff. You can say there was all these other little pieces that finally put together the perfect picture. But I think we all realize there's one head, and that's Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time.
Well, Tom Brady's got his third vote. We are moving along to Mr. Woodhead.
I don't know, guys. I kind of feel like the ability to affect the game from the defense is a little bit more valuable than the ability to, I mean, yeah, obviously quarterback is a position in basically all of the major team sports that is almost designed to be a dominant position. And Brady was very, very good at it. I think you've got to grade this on a curve a little bit. It's a lot harder to affect the game as a defensive end, and Bruce Smith, and you know, we'll talk about J.J. Watt in a little bit, who will be up and against another guy who's, you know, playing in a position that's very, very difficult to affect the game from, and Jerry Rice. But I don't know. It feels like a little bit of a cop out to give this to a quarterback. So I'm going to vote for Bruce Smith.
Oh, Bruce Smith picks up his first meaningless vote. Let's see if he gets another. Eric, you're up.
So, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers. So he proved that anybody can do it. So I guess it's not that impressive that Tom Brady did it. No, it was. It was very impressive, and no one expected it. It's Tom Brady. Let's not waste time. It's Tom Brady.
Tom Brady has a 4-1 victory somehow. We're moving. How did Tom Brady get more controversial than LeBron James? Explain that to me. We're moving on. We're moving on. Your next pick is going to be a tough one. You're going to have the 5 seed of Barry Sanders taking on the upset, somehow the upset, the 13 seed of Dan Marino. And Scott, you're kicking us off. Get us started, sir.
I said a lot of things about Dan Marino in the first round. You know, I was obviously one of the reasons that he's here. And I'm glad that he made it. I am. I'm glad that he made it this far. But, I mean, it's over, right? He can't – we're getting down to brass tacks now. There's no way that – one, I don't want this to be all quarterbacks in the end. And if it ends up being all quarterbacks in the end, I don't really think that that Marino should be one of them. It was a tough matchup before, but I mean, like, I voted out Drew Brees, and he's, you know, probably should have been in here over Marino, but it's just the way that the matchups went. So, yeah, no more Marino. We're going to say goodbye to him. So that's all I have to say. I have a lot more on his opponent later. So that's it.
Barry Sanders picks up his first vote. The next vote is going to Mr. Gore.
Well, as we all know, I didn't vote for either of these guys in the first round. But I think what's important to think about is that Dan Marino is rarely in the conversation for the best quarterback of all time. Let's be honest. There's plenty of other people in line before him. Was he great? Sure. Greatest? Not so much. However, if we start looking at the best running backs of all time, Barry Sanders is going to creep into that conversation. Got to give it to Barry.
Barry Sanders picks up his second vote. The next pick is going to Mr. Woodhead.
Yeah, I mean, you watched the Dan Marino play and you thought, oh, well, that was a good pass. You watched Barry Sanders escape from 17,000 defensive backs somehow, despite the fact that only 11 are allowed on the field at any particular time. And you were like, damn, that dude's got talent. Yeah, it's Barry Sanders here. Not even close.
Barry Sanders has a 3-0 lead. We're going to bring the next pick here over to Eric.
So I'm going to be a little controversial. I don't think Barry Sanders was the greatest running back. Mainly for the fact that, was he a running back? Like, they gave him the ball and he just ran wherever. I mean, he didn't really... He couldn't. He played for Detroit. He couldn't be a running back. You had to find your own hole. They weren't blocking for him. And then you look at the Detroit Lions as a whole. They have one playoff win since 1957. And that was in 1991. Barry Sanders was on that team. Or the 1991 season, 1992, I think the game was. Barry Sanders was on that team. And who was the Lions quarterback? Exactly.
Rodney Pete.
It was Eric Kramer, and it's Barry Sanders gets this vote. I'm not even going to mention Dan Marino. It's Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders is up 4-0. Let's see if we have a sweep. Mike, take us home.
I'll be honest. There's a part of me, when I looked at this matchup, that said, look, if Dan Marino can beat Joe Montana, he should beat Barry Sanders. Because I still am a little bit flabbergasted at the Marino over Montana pick. I understand some of the logic. I still just don't completely get it. But I will say this. Fantasy football really became a thing, like a super popular pop culture thing in the, I would say, late 90s, early 2000s, at least in terms of what I could tell. But I actually had a fantasy football playbook back in 1992. You know who was on the cover of that fantasy football playbook? It wasn't Dan Marino. It was Barry frickin' Sanders. No, this is Barry Sanders. Some of what he did, especially given the fact that, as Eric mentioned, no one was even blocking for him, was absolutely insane. Barry Sanders moves on.
And Barry Sanders does move on with a 5-0 sweep, and we are moving on. Jeff Gore is going to lead us off here. Are we going with the 11th seed of J.J. Watt or the 3 seed of Jerry Rice?
Yeah, this is a surprising matchup. I mean, what we have here is probably one of the most current really good defenders, I would say, versus the greatest wide receiver of all time. I mean, let's be real here. This isn't that close. Watt's great. He's a great guy. I mean, Houston should love him. Oh, wait. He's not in Houston anymore. RIP Houston. It was good knowing you. Rice moves on handily. This is easy.
Jerry Rice picks up his first vote. We're taking the next pick here. Over to Mr. Woodhead.
Yeah, I grew up looking up to Jerry Rice largely because I grew up as, you know, a Washington Name Redacted fan. Yeah. And I loved watching Art Monk catch the ball. I have an old Art Monk Super Bowl jersey from that I still occasionally wear when I can fit into it. And Art Monk was just below Jerry Rice constantly. Rice was just untouchable. Sure, part of it was the West Coast offense scheme, but again, you know, the fact that Jerry Rice was able to run those short routes so crisply, catch the ball, and then just go with it, that changed the game of football. We're back to the whole changing the game again thing. J.J. Watt's done a lot to affect the game in his own way, but I think you got to pick Jerry Rice here. And hopefully me voting against J.J. Watt will make Keely Watt suck in Chicago's next game against the Courage.
J.J. Watt is down 2-0. The next pick is going over to Eric.
So I think this was just inevitable, right? Greatest wide receiver of all time, most wide receiving or receiving yards of all time, you know, versus the most rushing yards of all time. Oh, wait, no, that's not it. No, it's J.J. Watt. Beat Emmitt Smith. Shouldn't be here. It's Jerry Rice. I'm done.
Jerry Rice has his fourth vote. The last pick goes to Mike.
I know. I'm sorry, Eric. There were perils to inviting two Washington fans on this team, and I apologize. J.J. Watt, incredible player. I did vote for him last time. I might even argue, just on the field, he's a little bit more of a dominating presence, given his place in the defense. But I think I said it last time. Jerry Rice still holds all the receiving records. You know, he had Hall of Fame quarterbacks thrown to him, whatever. He got open, he had great hands, and he did great things after he got the ball. He was the dominant receiver in the NFL for a decade. Move him on.
And we will move him on. With a 5-0 victory, J.J. Watt has moved on in his career.
I didn't vote.
Oh.
I mean, it's fine.
He does it to everybody, Scott. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't take it personally. I am
the tour. This is the problem when we're drinking.
Defend your boy Watt here.
Yeah, Scott, I apologize. I assumed that we were at. You're right, 100%. I actually have a tally next to your name, and you did not get to vote. Scott, take us away.
It's probably better that I don't, because I'm voting for J.J. Watt for a couple of reasons. One being that if Michael Jordan doesn't sweep, Jerry Rice doesn't sweep. Like that can't happen.
Fair.
I just want to point out that
Jordan did sweep.
Yeah, Jordan swept.
Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't Jordan that didn't sweep.
Brady.
It was Kobe.
Or Kobe.
Yeah.
Kobe didn't sweep because I'm a contrarian asshole, Scott.
Right, right, exactly. So maybe I am too then. I'm not sure. But yeah, J.J. Watt once again is the only player since they've been recording sacks to record 220 sack seasons, because Mark Gastineau's doesn't count, his first one. Just
it counts.
Putting that out there.
J.J. Watt, Mark Gastineau, same guy. Prove me wrong.
Well, that in that sense, then it's like, I don't know, Jerry Rice and any generic receiver that's not the strongest, not the fastest, not the most talented are the same guy. So my vote's for J.J. Watt, but let's move on.
I apologize about that, Scott, but J.J. Watt got his mercy vote. He's still being eliminated 4-1. And we are moving on to the last pick of the evening. We're starting with Mr. Woodhead. Are you going with the 10 seed of Lawrence Taylor or the 2 seed of Peyton Manning?
Boy, Do I choose the nauseating shade of orange or the disgusting shade of blue here? For I don't know how to decide between a University of Tennessee and a University of North Carolina person. Good Lord. Anyway, both of these guys were great. Peyton Manning played quarterback in a way that no one else played quarterback during his run in the NFL. The almost given co-play calling duties for a lot of his time in Indianapolis. And Lawrence Taylor, the guy who invented the strip sack, a guy who was so undefendable as a blitzing linebacker that that offensive coordinators and coaches had to figure out really weird and baroque blocking schemes in order to stop them. That's incredible. What I get back to is, you know, did you change the game? Peyton Manning played quarterback in a way very different from anyone else, but no one else has done that since him. The game just kind of looked at him as like, oh, okay, cool. You did that thing. We're going to just go back to what we're doing now. Lawrence Taylor, every linebacker from here to Kingdom Come is trying to strip sack the quarterback now. J.J. Watt's attempts at strip sacking wouldn't exist if it weren't for Lawrence Taylor. And the crazy blocking schemes that current offensive coordinators use, well, they're developing those because of defensive schemes initiated by Lawrence Taylor. So I've got to give my vote to LT here.
LaDainian Tomlinson, wait, no. Lawrence Taylor picks up his first vote. The next vote is going to Eric.
Lawrence Taylor was dominant, yes. But not that long of a dominance for him. Maybe 6-7 years. Peyton Manning, what are we talking about? 13-14 years of just dominance before his neck surgery. And then he won Super Bowls with two different teams as the quarterback. Granted, this second one, it wasn't really him because he couldn't throw a ball. But, I mean, if it comes down to it, it has to be Peyton Manning over Lawrence Taylor. He's taken out both LTs. It's got to be Peyton.
Peyton Manning has tied it up 1-1. We're bringing the next pick over to Mike.
Yeah, you know, both of my previous panelists have made a lot of really compelling points. But I think somebody said it last time is that Peyton Manning took above average receivers in like Reggie Wayne and made them look like the 10th greatest receiver of all time. You know, quite frankly, Peyton Manning may be one of, and if it, at worst, top three best regular season quarterbacks in NFL history. Yeah, okay, he choked when it really mattered, but he's from the University of Tennessee. It's kind of baked into his DNA. Like, come on. Sorry, Vols, I had to get that shot in there. You know, there is a genuine part of me that wants to vote for Lawrence Taylor just to keep a defensive player in this discussion, but I think I got to give it to Peyton here. I mean, the statistics speak for himself. He just had a tremendous career. So I'm voting for Peyton.
Peyton Manning picks up another vote. Scott, you're up.
We could have easily had a defensive player go on if we just voted for J.J. Watt. I just want to put that out there.
Touche, you know, touche.
If we wanted to vote for J.J. Watt over someone who I think we actually, most of us agree, was not the most talented at his position in Jerry Rice, even amongst his contemporaries. However, in my opinion, Peyton Manning was by far the most talented quarterback amongst his contemporaries, Tom Brady included, just from a talent standpoint. Again, if you build a quarterback, it's Peyton Manning. So there's no way I can vote against that. So my vote's for Peyton Manning. Bye-bye defense. I guess just like the actual league, you know, this podcast is now all about the offense, baby.
Peyton Manning is moving on to the Sweet 16, but I do want to hear from Mr. Gore.
Well, it's a good thing you want to hear from Mr. Gore, not from Mr. Tim, because Well, we really differ here in this opinion. I realize I don't have much time for a vote that doesn't count for much, but let's just be honest here. Tim didn't have strong feelings either way, but he felt that we should have had one defender in this final. And well, that's not happening, Tim. And your vote was fucking bullshit. Lawrence Taylor was really good for a few years. Peyton Manning has been incredible forever and will go down as one of the best ever. It screwed Tim's choice. This is going Peyton Manning.
Jeff calls it audible. I love it. Just like Peyton Manning. Omaha! Omaha!
Peyton Manning is moving
on. Omaha!
Peyton Manning is moving on to the Sweet 16, and that brings us to the end of the episode. Your Sweet 16 out of this portion of the bracket is going to consist of Michael Jordan taking on Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant against LeBron James in, I'm assuming, a conversation that literally every basketball fan on the planet has had. And then out of the football bracket, we're going to have Tom Brady against Barry Sanders, Jerry Rice against Peyton Manning. My God, I do not want to be here when you guys make these decisions because I'm going to get angry, but I have to be here. I am your unbiased host. Listen, if you're enjoying the Boozy Bracketology podcast, patreon.com/PTEBB is your home for all of our bonus content. The Facebook group, as you are well aware by now, is The Lounge, fans of pub trivia experience in Boozy Bracketology. For the Boozy Bracketology podcast, I have been Chris.
I have been Scott.
I've been Jeff.
I have also been Jeff.
I've been upset about Emmett Smith, but I've also been Eric.
And I have been Mike.
We will see you next time as we dive into the Sweet 16. Have a good one.